this last or earliest month and last month, we heard all sorts of contentious hearings leading up to an appointment of Justice Kavanaugh, and it generated a lot of discussion about ethics and morality. And some of it was interesting. Like, I was reading an article. It was written by a man named Paul Prather. It was published in the Lexington Herald Leader back in October 11th. And his expressed concern was not that people disagreed, but the way they were disagreeing. He says, we don't just disagree with our opponents anymore. We don't just criticize them. We demonize them. We mock them. We hate them. We don't just wish to see the error of their ways. We wish them destroyed. We wish them imprisoned. We wish them humiliated. And I keep seeing this over and over again, even just the shootings that were recent. People have gotten to the point where they just don't like anyone disagreeing with them. And that's just one of many things that disturbed me about recent events. It's not just enough to disagree with another person. People feel compelled to destroy. And it's not an issue that's reserved for politics. You know, the tremors of disasters await society, but it is even in the church. That's why I had the scripture reading from Romans chapter 16. Paul talked about that we have to be watchful for those who would cause dissensions or divisions in a church. In Romans chapter 16 and starting with verse 17, it says, now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teachings which you have learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. We have to understand, there are people who are trying to lead God's people off track. There are people who will cause divisions. Sometimes I've even seen them trying to cause division just to destroy the church, because it doesn't go along with what they want. Back when we were studying in Proverbs 6, I know it was quite a while ago, but back in Proverbs 6 and in verse 19, there's a list starting in verse 16 about things that God finds abominable. And that's that word that has to do with your abdomen. Things that God finds disgusting, nauseating. And in that list, he says at the end of verse 19, and one who spreads strife among brethren. Those who cause dissensions, those who cause strife, God finds that particularly nauseating, because people are supposed to be brethren. We've had as our theme this year about the unity that we're supposed to strive for. But there are people who will work against that, and we have to be aware of that. And we need to understand why. One thing that you'll run across, and it's mentioned actually earlier in Proverbs 6 and in verse 14, it says, who with perversity in his heart continually devises evil, who spreads strife. There are people who are just plain wicked. They're crooked. Their thought pattern is all twisted up, and they just like to cause problems. It's not the way you and I probably think. It's not the way most people think. But there are people that cause problems. In fact, in Proverbs 17 and in verse 19, it says, he who loves transgression loves strife. He who raises his door seeks destruction. There are some people, because they love evil, because they love wickedness, they just find it fun to see other people bickering at each other. It gives them a sense of power. and control over other people. And so they'll stir it up just so they can. But closely related to that is another problem. That's in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions." There are always going to be people that are going to do something that's going to annoy you. It's just a fact of life. You get enough people and somebody's going to annoy you sometime. Some people, though, devolve into hatred. And they'd like to cause strife because of that. We lose sight of why we're here. We're here to get as many people as possible to heaven. But instead it becomes a matter of, I'm right, you're wrong. And it's all about people doing the things the way I want it done. And along with that, you find some people who are contentious. In Proverbs chapter 26 and in verse 21, contentious is this idea of somebody who's never happy. They're always finding fault. It's just nothing's good enough. And in Proverbs 26 and verse 21, it says, like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so a contentious man to kindle strife. When somebody just can't be satisfied. Usually it's because they don't like somebody. But it can be for other reasons as well. But when that happens, and there's nothing's ever good enough, strife breaks out. And behind most of these sins is the problem of pride. In Proverbs 13 and verse 10, it says, "Through insolence comes nothing but strife, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel." Some people are just so arrogant that, because it has to be my way. I'm always right. And so there's always clashes, especially if you get two prideful people in the room. Somewhere along the line, they're going to clash. And so strife breaks out. One type of prideful person that Proverbs talks about is the mocker or the scoffer. In Proverbs 22, the scoffer is somebody who, if you have an opinion or a belief that's different from his, well, you're wrong. And so he makes fun of you. Because it's not because he has any reason or logic or anything that he can offer. He just, you're different from him. And so he always makes fun of anybody who's different. And in Proverbs 22 and verse 10, it says, "Drive out the scoffer and contention will go out. Even strife and dishonor will cease." You get rid of the guy who's always making fun of everybody else because they don't believe the way they do, problems will disappear. Sadly, you know, we're not that big of a group, and we do have a high turnover, but I have seen that, you know, certain people that come in and they just grumble and they're never happy and they're never satisfied. And when they move on, it is like a breath of fresh air. That's sad. That's not what we're striving for. We also have to realize that some people have trouble with their temper. Hot-tempered person is one who flies off the handle. He acts first and then thinks later. In Proverbs 15 and verse 18, it says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute." Like I said, there's going to be, in any group, disagreements. It's just bound to happen. And if you're a hot-tempered person and you fly off the handle when somebody disagrees with you, it's going to cause strife. Now, there's sometimes when it's proper to be angry, but a person who's slow to anger is going to work at keeping it from getting out of hand. They're going to stop and think. And one that I've seen also happen quite often is are those who just don't want to learn. You know, the fact of the matter is, you and I are all human. Therefore, I don't know everything. There's things I haven't learned yet. I might have a belief that's wrong. But there are some people who refuse to learn. Now, scoffers are one type of those people. They have their belief and anybody else is automatically wrong. But there's, you can broaden that to, there are some people that just will not learn. And those people also cause problems. In Proverbs 18 and in verse 6, it says, a fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool doesn't stop to think. Fool says the first thing comes out of his mouth. I keep thinking about that, especially with some of the political commentaries I keep hearing about. You know, it really bothers me when somebody says, you know, we should just lock them up. We should just shoot them. Whoever it is. That's a fool's way of thinking. Learn about what's going on. Try to fix the problem. Because as Proverbs also mentions in Proverbs 20 and verse 3, it says, keep away from strife is an honor for any man, but any fool will quarrel. It's easy to start a fight. The honorable thing, though, is to keep a fight from breaking out. That's the harder one, and that's why most people respect that. And the reason why we're interested in this, and the reason why Paul says we got to take care of divisive people and watch out for them, is because once strife starts, it is really, really hard to stop. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 14, it says, the beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. It's like a dam that's got a leak in it. It starts out slow, but it doesn't take long before you have a flood. Strife's the same way. It starts out maybe like a small trickle, but before you know it, it's a flood. And then it's hard to stop. Then it's hard to change. But take a look at Hebrews chapter 12. There's an interesting statement in Hebrews 12, and it has a really subtle reference to the Old Testament. But it's Hebrews 12 and verse 14. It says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. We're to pursue peace. We're chasing after holiness, sanctification. We're supposed to be people like God. But the opposite, the Hebrew writer says, is falling short. Not quite making it to heaven. And becoming bitter. Now, what's interesting is that phrase, the root of bitterness, it appears in Deuteronomy. And you would think at first that this has nothing to do with what Hebrew writer is talking about. But take a look at Deuteronomy 29. In This is one of Deuteronomy is a set of Moses' last words as he talks to the Israelites. And starting with verse 14, Moses says, Now not with you alone am I making this covenant and this oath, but with both with those who stand here with us today in the presence of the Lord our God, and with those who are not with us here today. For you know how we lived in the land of Egypt and how we came through the midst of the nations through which you passed. Moreover, you have seen their abominations and their idols of wood, stone, silver, and gold, which they had with them, so that there will not be among you a man or woman, a family or tribe, whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go out and serve the gods of those nations, that there will be not among you a root of bearing poisonous fruit or root of bitterness and wormwood. And it shall be when he hears the words of this curse that he will boast, saying, I have peace, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart, in order to destroy the watered land with the dry. And the Lord shall never be willing to forgive him, but rather the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will burn against that man, and every curse which is written in this book will rest on him, and the Lord will blot up his name from under heaven. Then the Lord will single him out for adversity from all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant which are written in this book of the law. What is Moses talking about? Look back at that for a moment. Moses talked about that there may be some, after going through all the trials and all the tribulations that they had endured, that some would turn from God, following after those idols that they had seen in those other countries. And because of that, it's not enough just to turn from God. They become bitter. And they want to destroy what they left. Such a person becomes stubborn, Moses said, and destructive of what is good. The Hebrew writer saw the same problem, because if you look back in Hebrews 12, where we had read, you look at earlier that he talks about the chastising of the Lord and the hardships that we would have to go through. And there is a possibility that some, after enduring all those hardships, because of God's discipline of us, give up. Just like some of the Israelites. After going through the wilderness wanderings and surviving all that, they give up. And the fear is they'll become bitter. And then they'll turn and they want to destroy the good that they left. And by it they become defiled. And then there's no peace. There's no holiness. Bitterness becomes a poison that just destroys relationships. And we have to be on guard on that. That's why we got to watch out for the strife. Jesus also brings up another problem of strife. And it's in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23. It says, therefore, if you're presenting your offering at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and present your offering. Now he's talking about those who lived underneath the old law this time. But it still has a principle that we need to learn. The point is clear. If you have a disagreement with a brother, a strife, whatever, settle the problem first. Then worship God. No one can please God while causing problems with other people. You've got to go back to that verse in Proverbs. God finds it disgusting when somebody causes strife between brethren. If there's strife between brethren, then go settle it, so that our worship will be pleasing to God. Yet another problem that strife causes is it causes people to devour each other. To destroy, not just destroy the good, but destroy people. Take a look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 13. It says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." If we love and we serve each other, the church will grow. It's that simple. If we turn to fault finding and contending with each other, we'll destroy ourselves. There's been many times I've been in congregations where, and it's usually the person who's causing the problem that mentions it. "Well, I can't bring anybody to church because there's just too much problems going on here." Settle the problems. The very idea you can't invite somebody to church, you got problems that need to be fixed. And it seems somehow it's always somebody else's problem. The illustration here is of wild animals snipping at each other, looking for a weakness. That sometimes you see that, especially if some more vicious animals, if somebody in the pack turns out to be weak, the others will turn on them and start snipping at them. And in that weakness, then they start biting each other, and soon no one's left standing. We have to understand, if we are involved in strife, it's going to ruin our influence. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain." In order to prove ourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, what do we have to do? We got to do all things without grumbling or disputing. There is really no reason to grumble. If you see a problem, fix it. Grumbling about it is not fixing it. If someone's off track, talk with them. Settle it. Get them back on track. Bickering doesn't show us to be different from the world. Look at the world around us. Look at the politics that are happening. When people start bickering, they're just like the rest of the world. But we're supposed to be lights. We're supposed to be somebody who's different. And without unity, all efforts at evangelism are destroyed. That's why Jesus, in his prayer in John chapter 17, John chapter 17, and starting with verse 20, Jesus prays, "I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you have loved me. Jesus' desire is that all of us become one. Working together, unified in what we do, striving to reach heaven together. And it's by our unity that the world knows that we're from God. And that God is with us. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of their brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.